In place.
Hi, this is Susie from Many Issues Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. You see, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In Issues mission, and is brought to you by the cool folks over at Apostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. You would think our running is a little bit slower these days, being in the middle of winter, but you know what? We are excited, and we are running, taking next steps, and I want to welcome you again, all of you who are out there. If you're returning back to us and taking some faster steps with us, I'm glad you're aboard. If this is your first step with us, a baby step with us, well, there are no baby steps, because each one of them really moves you way out there. Well, at least we want to believe that, don't we? I mean, you know, life is... here we are in the middle of winter. Already half of winter is gone by. We're going to be talking about the midwinter feast, Candlemas. We're going to be talking about that beautiful time of year that this is. And in Armenian tradition, there's one called Diarant Arach. That's going to be coming up. And I want to share some thoughts about that today. I promised you. Yes, I know. I got the emails. Thank you. Yes, I promised you. And I'm going to keep faithful to my promise. I'm going to share some thoughts about that. But you know what? Time is going by, and it just tells you that life is just too precious. Time is too precious. And you got to take advantage of every moment. You know, I did an informal little survey the other day. I surveyed my son, Christopher. He's 14 years old. Because, you know, there's this phenomena, isn't there? Like, as you get older, you know, time just seems like it's going by so much faster. Like, you know, like, you hear the cliche from older people, like, enjoy the time that you have, because before you know it, you close your eyes, you open them, and it's gone by. And it's almost like a cliche. And now I hear myself telling that to so many people. The other day, I saw this couple, they just had a baby. I said, enjoy the moment, you know, enjoy it. Before you know it, in front of your eyes, they're going to grow up and leave home. And I asked my son Christopher, 14 years old, I said, so does time go by fast for you? And he said, yes. Which is interesting, because I remember being young, time couldn't go fast enough, right? You always want to get to the next hurdle. You want to always get to the next step in your life. You know, it's never fast enough, because you want to get there. You want to drive your car. You want to get out there with your friends. You want to do this or that. You know, so it was interesting to hear that from a 14-year-old, that even for him, in his perspective, time is going by fast. And I don't know what it is. It's just like we are being bombarded with information, and you have to process that information. I think that has to do with it too, doesn't it? I mean, there is just an awful lot of stuff to process these days. I mean, that same stuff existed in the old days, but because of media technology and how fast it's coming to us, we basically have to process that immediately. And I think that's part of the phenomena, too. And that's really what the next step is all about, too. It's how to process all of this stuff through a lens, a very ancient lens. As a priest of the Armenian Church, I represent the oldest Christian community on earth. That's pretty cool. But it also is very awesome responsibility for me. You know, and I don't take it lightly. So when we come here on the next step, it's basically not to tell you about an ancient history, not to tell you about an ancient faith, but tell you about a living faith, a faith that works today in all of the things, in all of those things that we have to process, all of the things that are just bombarding us. How do you process that through a very basic faith that Jesus Christ gave us? In fact, I'm saying that because I just finished. This was an awesome week for me. We just did this this lecture called Harimyan to Obama just a few days ago. And I want to share some thoughts about that today, along with Diyaran Taraj, the Harimyan to Obama lecture, what we talked about. There's an awful lot in there. And I mean that word, an awful lot. It is a lot, and it is awful. When you really think about it, because so much changes. In fact, I subtitled the lecture, Lessons and Lies in Nonviolent Revolution. Okay, before I get ahead of myself, before I get ahead of the game, let me just say that this whole point of this is that, you know, I appreciate the time that you're giving to the next step. Whether you've got a burnt CD in your CD player in the car, you're listening while you're driving, you're running around doing your jogging, you're taking your morning or afternoon constitutional, or you are sitting in front of a computer and listening. I appreciate the time that you're putting, and I hope that we'll always be worthy of the trust and the confidence that you've put into this podcast. I appreciate it, bottom line. And you don't know how much I appreciate it, because it gives me an opportunity to really share some things that are really vital and critical. Being on the front line, you see things in a whole different perspective, and you give me this chance to be able to share it with you. And I always look forward to your responses, to your feedback. So we're going to be getting to all of this stuff. We're going to be looking at what's going on in the world. We're even going to tackle the groundhogs. I know, you're saying, okay, wait, you just talked about spiritual matters, and now you're going to give us some rodents to think about and look at. Well, it's not as bad as all that. We'll come back to the groundhogs as well. We start off every podcast with a song of the day, and today is no different. Today I'm going to pick out a song that, well, I think at this midwinter time, it is so appropriate. You know, sometimes you can't get out of the house, you can't get out of, even look out the windows too far. Here is a song from the George Harrison, was it a benefit concert? No, the memorial concert. It was called the Concert for George, and this is called The Inner Light.
Without going out of my door, I can know all things on earth. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows, the less one really. Without going out of your door, you can know all things on earth. without looking out of your window. You can know the ways of heaven, the farther one travels, the less one knows, the less one really knows. Without traveling, see all without looking, do all without doing.
That's a George Harrison tune called The Inner Light, and it is off of the Concert for George album, actually a DVD as well, and it's available just about every place. This particular song, the artist on this one, the liner notes say Jeff Lynne is the singer, the artist on this, and probably that sitar is probably Anushka Shankar. It doesn't say, but of course she's playing throughout the concert, so it's either Ravi or Anushka. Yeah, we're on first name basis, you know, Ravi Shankar, Ravi. No, if you look at the way it's set up, it's probably Anushka who's playing that. And just a beautiful, beautiful tune. Actually, every week I go through this little process, this little procedure in selecting the song of the day. And sure enough, today, you know, I'm thinking about midwinter. I'm thinking about groundhogs. I'm thinking about all kinds of things. And in fact, Dyaran Tarach, which is the main feast that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, it's coming up in a few days. I was thinking about all that, and then all of a sudden I get this phone call, and the ringer tone, the tone on my phone is The Inner Light, is this song. And I hear that little riff, dun da da dun da da dun da da dun, and all of a sudden it clicks in my head, you know, because I look at the phone and I didn't even recognize it was a wrong number. And so I'm saying, okay, this is a message, play this song today. Yeah. Well, it's not that spiritually deep. Actually, it's an accident which lent into the song. I hope you enjoyed it. That's the bottom line. Okay, we are at midwinter right now. We are halfway through midwinter. There are equally a number of weeks behind us and equally number of weeks in front of us. And this whole tradition of Groundhog's Day, I believe it's an American tradition. Actually, it's more, let's say it's more of a New England tradition. It takes place over in the on the East Coast of the United States more prominently than here on the West Coast. I think probably because here in LA, where we're at in the Southern California area, we see groundhogs. I mean, there's all kinds of rodents coming out of the ground over here. It's not a major phenomena for us, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of little squirrels and gophers and stuff like that. I wouldn't be able to tell which one's a gopher, which one's a rat, which one's a groundhog. But anyway, over in Pennsylvania, there is a town called Punxsutawney, and they have a tradition. And in Punxsutawney over there, the groundhog comes out of its hole, and it looks at it looks at the ground, I guess. And if it sees its shadow, in other words, that there's sun outside, it means that there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter. And if it doesn't see its shadow, it means that spring is very close by. Well, obviously, it's a kind of a fun little game they play. And of course, there's a tradition, an opportunity to make money and, you know, tourists and stuff like that. So I don't want to say there's a lot of excitement about it. I guess in New England states that would happen bigger. I don't know. I've never been there. Actually, it's one of those things that I should go out there and check out maybe next year, huh? Maybe next year we could meet in Punxsutawney. But for right now, it's just sort of a silly little tradition, which has religious overtones, believe it or not. Because the midwinter point, the Groundhog's Day, which is February 2nd, also happens to be Candlemas. It happens to be 40 days after Jesus' birth. Now, do you remember last week I told you I would show you a little trick? And if you've got Windows, I don't know if it's on all versions of Windows. I'm using Windows 7, so this is the calculator. Go to the Programs menu and open up your accessories, and there is a calculator there. And look under the view, and you have date calculation. This is a little program that allows you to check how many days between two separate dates. Okay, so if you put in there Christmas date, December 25th, and check to February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, you have 40 days. Actually, you got 39, but that's the number of days in between. So you include the one extra day, which is the day itself, and you've got 40 days. The 40th day is Groundhog's Day. And this happens to be the presentation. Candlemas happens to be the presentation of the Lord. We find that story in the Gospel of Luke. Now bear with me, because this is going to be really fascinating. There's a lot of 40s and a lot of things that all kind of comes together. Very spiritually and eclectically maybe, but let's say that, well, just like the song today, you don't know if this is coincidence or if this thing just all comes together for our divine plan. Yeah, I like to think about those divine plans, don't I? Anyway, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 and on. Actually, verses 22, excuse me. It says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is exactly 40 days after his birth, the time of the purification according to the law of Moses. And there in the temple was a man named Simeon. Simeon was a righteous man, and he was promised by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Christ, the Messiah. And so in the temple, Simeon takes the baby Jesus into his arms and thanks God for the opportunity to be able to see the Savior of the world. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be the sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. What a thing to say to a young mother, huh? 40 days after she's given birth. What a thing to say. But of course, Simeon was talking about something bigger than just a child being presented. Simeon was talking about that incarnation of love coming and touching us, touching this world. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, this event takes place. Candlemas. That's what that feast is. And it happens to be that on February 2nd, this tradition of groundhogs came about because, like I said, there were some monks that were noting that sunnier Candlemas days meant longer winters. Okay, now you say, well, you're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy. I don't remember anything about Candlemas, or I don't even see it in the Armenian Orthodox calendar. Yeah, February 2nd doesn't work. Because if you remember, Christmas Day was not changed to December 25th in the Armenian tradition. It was kept on January 6th. So go ahead, do the calculations. January 6th, add 40 days, and you come up to February 14th. Not Valentine's Day, actually the Candlemas of the Armenian Orthodox tradition. The Candlemas, which in Armenian terms is called Diarant Arach. Sometimes it's called Derendes to Desnel Dera, to see the Lord. Diarant Arach, to bring to the presentation of the Lord. It's a classical Armenian word. The presentation of the Lord. Okay, now, what is that? exactly this same story. The story that comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. So Dyarantarach, February 14th, is the Groundhog's Day, in very colloquial terms, of the Armenian Orthodox Church. The Armenian Church celebrates that groundhogs with a, not with groundhogs, but actually with a very special tradition of lighting fires and beginning the second half of the winter in heat, in light, in beauty. Now, Dyarantarach has its own rubrics, it has its own traditions, its own prayers, its own hymns. Now, what's interesting about this is that this year, 2010, we have this incredible harmony of all things together. Because the Orthodox Easter also coincides with Western Easter, April 4th. In other words, all of Christendom, all of Christian churches will celebrate Easter on the same day, on April 4th. Now, do the calculations. January 6th to February 14th, 40 days. Do the calculation. February 4th to Palm Sunday, or to the Sunday, Saturday before Palm Sunday, which we call Lazarus Saturday, 40 days. So you have these two incredible 40-day cycles this year, culminating with the resurrection, Palm Sunday, the Passion beginning, and then the culminating with the resurrection of Christ. So you've got these two 40-day periods of sanctification, of purification, and then a period of meditation, a period of preparing body, soul, and mind for that incredible experience of resurrection. This is phenomenal. This happens this year. I'm looking forward to it because really it means the aligning of all of these numbers really means that we have an opportunity to really align ourselves. You know, I haven't felt this way since the year 2000. You remember the year 2000, we had that extra day. We had that leap year. As you know, there's a leap day, that extra day in February, February 29th, comes every 4 years. And every 4 years, they add that day so that they could correct the cycles. They could correct basically our clocks. You need that extra day every 4 years so that you'll be, well, you'll adjust yourself back to the harmony of nature. But what's interesting is that on every century, they ignore that extra day because every 4 years, you add that extra day, but after doing that for 20 times, you get to the century mark, and you're still off. You're still off by a few minutes, by a day and everything. So every century, they ignore that leap day. Except every fourth century, because you need that leap day to put everything in order again. So in the year 2000, we felt this harmony, right? It was not only a leap year, it was not only the century mark, but it also happened to be the fourth century in a row. So we got that extra leap day, and things got back into harmony again. I feel that this year, too. You've got these 40-day periods coming together and putting this harmony. So at this midwinter point, we have this opportunity to look at Candlemas, to look at the presentation of the Lord coming into our lives. And I invite you, read that story because it says so much about time, about coordination, about discipline. There are certain times. It's not haphazardly. As Albert Einstein says, God doesn't play dice with the universe. It's not just thrown out there. There are reasons. There are patterns, there are numbers, there are intricacies that make the universe what it is. And the beautiful part of it is that we're not just out there. We are loved, we are cared for, and we are part of that. Armenian Orthodoxy, when we talk, I said earlier, it's not about history. It's about living in the moment right now. And taking that history, sure, the past, but making it reach to this point right now and being able to look at tomorrow with this incredible passion for the today. I believe Ani's ready to come in. Just, I'm saved by the harp this time, aren't I? Let's listen to Ani as she takes us away to the bubbles of today.
8 gifts that don't cost a cent. 1. The gift of listening. But you must really listen. No interrupting, no daydreaming, no planning your response, just listening. 2. The gift of affection. Be generous with appropriate hugs, kisses, pats on the back, and handholds. Let these small actions demonstrate the love you have for your family and friends. 3. The gift of laughter. Clip cartoons, share articles and funny stories. Your gift will say, "I love to laugh with you." 4. The gift of a written note. It can be simple, "Thanks for your help," or a full sonnet. A brief handwritten note may be remembered for a lifetime and may even change a life. 5. The gift of a compliment. Is simple and sincere, "You look great in that," or "You did a super job," can make someone's day. 6. The gift of a favor. Every day, go out of your way to do something kind for someone else. 7. The gift of solitude. There are times when we want nothing better than to be left alone. Be sensitive to those times and give the gift of solitude to others. And 8. The gift of a cheerful disposition. The easiest way to feel good is to extend a kind word to someone. Really, it's not that hard to say hello or thank you. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Oh, I don't want to say I wish you slowed down because there was a rhythm to that, but I'm still writing down all those things to do. I'm still at number 4, write a sonnet. Isn't that, wasn't that, there was a sonnet in there
somewhere. No brag, just fact.
Not will, but writing something and giving of yourself. But you know what? What a beautiful bubble that was. I mean, there is so much that we could give that we naturally have and our ability to do. That was beautiful, Ani. Thank you. And Ani does these bubbles. It's just much like the soap bubbles, you know? You blow those little soap bubbles and you watch them go up to heaven. And so does your imagination. So in these little spiritual messages or these electronic messages that Ani shares with us, there's opportunities for us to really look up to heaven and see that, you know, we are spiritual beings. It's not just a question of this physical existence that we find ourselves in, but God wants us to really soar, to really be up there and soar with the angels, to soar with the eagles, to be the persons that he intends us to be. So if I can, I want to add one more to this list because of things that we can do. Many times I've used it as a commercial point here on The Next Step, but I appreciate so much of the viral nature of the internet. And I know I get emails from people saying so-and-so turned me on to The Next Step, and I really appreciate that. You know, and I got to encourage you, please, go ahead and pass along. If you burn us onto a CD, give that CD to somebody. Pass the link on to Apostle, to other people that might benefit from this. And don't hold back. The reason I'm saying this is because last night we had our Bible study. If you don't get a chance to watch it live, they are archived. They're at apostle.net/broadcast.html. And or just go to the Apostle website and press on the broadcast button there, the tab. But last night in our Bible study, we've been studying the Gospel of John. We were on John chapter 12. There is a little passage there, a couple of verses, which say something not so much about Jesus, but about his followers. People were following Jesus, and he was at the height. Remember, at John 12, he's gone through this series of miracles, beginning with the changing of water into wine back in chapter 2, all the way culminating in the ultimate miracle, which was resurrecting Lazarus from the grave. So he's gone through all this, and he's got this, he's probably at the height of his popularity in his ministry. People are following him in unheard of numbers. And there is a small passage in that gospel which tells us that some of the people did not want others to know that they were part of Jesus's, let's say, community, his circle. And it says because they were more concerned about what people thought about them than they were about what God thought about them. And when we read this, I thought, you know, that's so true. In many ways, we care more about what our world thinks about us, especially when it comes to religion, when it comes to Christianity specifically. You know, so many people have given such a bad name to Christians. So many people have distorted the reality of what Christ's message is, that we're embarrassed. We don't want people to know about us or to hear that we are Christians. And so when you take our message, and that's why I was saying, you know, there's one more thing that I want you to do in that list of things that you can do to sort of piggyback on where Ani was taking us. Pass this podcast along to people. Pass this message along to people. You know, when we talk about Armenian Church, I am embarrassed too. There are so many things that are really embarrassing. It comes down to money. It comes down to who could get their name on what. And really, people need to know that there is a message here. In fact, I am so convinced of this that I'm putting everything out on the line. I can't find a more pure religion than Armenian Orthodoxy, because it brings Jesus' message to the today. It brings Jesus' essence to today. Jesus was not just some character in Nazareth, some character in Jerusalem, some character in history. Jesus is. In fact, that is the whole message of what this, of what Armedoxy is all about. That God was not, is not going to be, but is. The name of God is He is. Na-e. In fact, in the Armenian tradition, we use an entire letter. It is the verb to be in the present tense. And so, if God is right now, if Jesus is right now, how does that work in my life? I'm not embarrassed about it. And there is this message that we need to, well, we need to evangelize. We need to get out there. So don't be embarrassed. You know, go ahead. Pass along the CD that you've burnt of The Next Step to your friends. Go ahead and tell people that you're listening to this podcast. Every week I get emails from people that say, so-and-so turned me on to your show. So-and-so gave me this link. I'm listening. I appreciate it. But this is the viral nature of the internet. And we have this ability right now, with very little funds, to be able to get this message out to a broad audience. Please, make a point of sharing us. And just to add on to Ani's 8 steps over there, or Ani's 8 points, let's make a 9th one, of sharing The Next Step with your friends and with your family. And with that being said, let me go on to where we're at this week, because I gave a lecture at the University of Southern California at the invitation of the Armenian Institute over there. It was called Lessons and Lies in Nonviolent Revolution, and I looked through Kharimian all the way to Obama. Now, this lecture in its entirety is on our website. Susie's placed that there. It's at inissues.org. You can watch the whole thing, but in a nutshell, we basically look at the lives of not only Kharimian Haidi, excuse me, not the lives, but their teachings, but of Gandhi, of Martin Luther King, of Cesar Chavez, of even Hrant Dink, and we come up all the way to Obama. And we look at this pattern of revolutions that have taken place. And if you look at that idea of revolution, probably there is no greater revolution than the one kicked off by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gave us this revolutionary way of combating evil. This revolutionary means by which we can overcome difficulties. And it is revolutionary. In fact, it is, in my lecture I said, it's absurd. That's how revolutionary it is. It is to love. But not just to love people. not to love our friends. Love your enemies, he says, and pray for those who persecute you. That is bizarre. Think about it for a moment. Love your enemies. And Jesus challenges us to this revolution. And that's why I'm saying that if we really are faithful to the gospel, if we are really faithful to what Armodoxy was all about, Armenian Orthodoxy, back in the first century, what Thaddeus and Bartholomew came to Armenia and brought this message, they were willing to die for. Well, you don't die for something that you don't believe in. You don't die because, you want to tell people, well, you see that car in the street, that car is blue. The guy says, no, it's red. You know, and he puts a gun up to your head and he says, tell me it's red. You say, of course it's red, even though you know it's blue. Because that car is not worth dying for. But when Thaddeus and Bartholomew came to Armenia and said, here is a revolutionary idea that you can combat all of the evil in the world with the love that Christ is giving us, that God has placed in our heart. And when the Armenian people said, no way, that can't happen. We'll put you to death if you say that. They'll say, well, we saw it. We saw the resurrection. And they said, okay, that's absurd. Nobody comes back from such a horrendous death as that crucifixion and comes to talk about it and comes to live. Thaddeus and Bartholomew stood there and said, okay, fine. We will not back off of this point. We will back off. We will say that car over there in the street is red, but we won't back off from this point and go ahead and kill us. That's how much we believe it. And in fact, every one of the disciples, no matter where they were, went to their graves defending this idea that love is more powerful than all of the evil in the world. So now, how about us? What about us? If we're true to being Christian and being called Christians, then you've got to buy into that big statement. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the revolution that Jesus brought. That's the revolution that can get us out of difficulties in our lives, difficulties in our relationships, but also on the grand scale. In the lecture that if you have a chance to watch it, I talk about genocide issues because specifically the Armenian Institute had called me. And for Armenian people, there's this baggage. There's this genocide which is weighting them down as if it needs to be debated, as if somebody else needs to call us on it and talk about it. It's done. The genocide happened. There's no question mark on it. There's no debate about it. I believe it. I know it's done. Now, what do I do with that horrendous evil? I go out there and say that love is more powerful than that. And as you know, if you follow the In His Shoes ministry, you know that we specifically combat that evil by doing outreach programs that really demonstrate God's love. This year again, on April 24th, we're going to be fasting for those people who are hungry, who are homeless. I'm very proud to say a small group of kids who have fasted consistently every year in these last few years on April 24th have raised over $500,000 for world hunger. This is all because these are kids that whose parents, whose grandparents went through genocide. Now you tell me, what lasts at the end of it? What lives? What is the resurrection at the end of it? That's the In His Shoes model. Putting your feet in the shoes of others, feeling their pain so that you could walk in their shoes, you understand their pain, and in understanding, you could extend that love to them. And we're going to be doing that again this year. So that's what this model I spoke about was all about. This opportunity for us to all combat that evil with love. Now, if you look at, I spoke a few weeks ago about Pat Robertson, right? About this absurd Christian mentality. Now, there was another guy in the news just today, actually, James Ray. You've probably heard of him. Do you know that the self-help industry, can you imagine how much money is being poured into it? Take a guess. The self-help industry annually is is an $11 billion, with a B, an $11 billion industry. And James Ray was the guy who wrote that book, The Secret. You know, talk about whatever you want, you can get with the power of your thoughts. Wow, that's pretty cool, you know? Get whatever you want. Just think about it. Well, it's more than that, right? The Secret. Anyway, unfortunately, this James Ray took a bunch of people up to a lodge, a sweat lodge, and you probably heard it about it. I don't know if it was a few months ago, if it was definitely it was last year. That lodge collapsed and some people died in that thing. And now James Ray is in jail waiting for a trial to be tried on attempted murder charges. Or I don't know exactly what the charges are. But what I'm saying is that you have all of these kind of stories always popping up. Today's story was that one. Last week was this preacher called Pat Robertson. Before that, it was somebody else. What I'm saying is that Jesus' message is a very pure message. It is a pure message because it is a message based on love. In fact, in Orthodoxy, I was having this discussion with a friend of mine the other day. Have you noticed how we've really complicated matters? In the early Christian church, the Last Supper was celebrated around a table. And as Christianity evolved, that table went farther and farther away. It went up onto a stage. It went up onto a platform. In fact, the table was turned around so that the priest's back was to the people. We covered it up with iconostasis. We covered it up with the curtain so that there was a distance between the sacred and the secular. Now, there's an opportunity to bring that sacred back down to the people. In fact, if anything, isn't that what the Christian message is based on? God so loved us that he didn't stay up in heaven, that he came down. He came down from heaven and mingled with us. So really the challenge for us, and particularly for me in this journey that we're taking, I'm calling it Armadoxy journey, is really how do we take that chalice off of the altar? How do we take Jesus off of the altar and make him real in our lives today? So he's not somebody we wind up on Sundays alone and then watch him tick away, but he's somebody that lives in our lives every single day. Well, there's opportunities. I talked about it earlier, right? This opportunity, the 40 days of purification, the 40 days of Lent, each of these are opportunities for us to grow spiritually and become the people that we are. Look, there's no mystery about this. There is no mystery. Check it out in your life. When are you the happiest? Is it when you're running around and trying to make it, or when you find that inner peace, when all things are harmonious, when body, soul, and mind come together? Isn't that your happiest moment? In fact, we can even say that that is a definition for happiness in our lives. When everything is in sync, body, soul, and mind. You know, when the body is not there, we have a dog. It's an Australian Shepherd. It was interesting because he wasn't feeling good. Do you notice when if you have a pet? I don't know if this is true of all pets, but I notice in dogs. I've noticed this not only in the one we have now, but in other dogs. They shut down. What do? They slow down. They don't eat. They start just drinking water until all of the toxins have been released from their body. I don't know if that's exactly the physiology that goes with a dog's life, but I know that's true in our lives. And that's the point of Lent. It's an opportunity to detox, get rid of all of the toxins in our body. That's coming up next week. We're going to be talking about the Lenten journey. And I promise you, you listen in next week. We're going to give a program for that Lenten journey. What do you do? And I've got some great things coming up, so I don't want to spoil it. But what I'm saying is, as a prelude to that, think about the opportunities that God gives us. You look at the difficulties that are going on in the world right now. You hear about these preachers. You hear about spiritual gurus. It's not that complicated. And I was talking with a friend. We were talking about bringing Jesus down from the altar. Think about the complications in, well, especially in Orthodox, in more traditional churches, the complications with names. You have His Eminences, His Graces, His Holinesses, you have His Beatitudes, all kinds of things that supersede a name. The Reverend Father, the Right Reverend Father, the Very Reverend Father. You know what Jesus' title was? Jesus. Think about it for a moment. That's how simple it was. Jesus. That was His name. And in that Jesus, we find the purity and the simplicity. That's what this call is about. And so when we look at these stories, when going back to the topic of Gharimyan to Obama, it's a question of putting it all together and finding that in that simplicity, we have the answers. It is very simple. It's an answer of love overcoming evil.
So you ride yourselves over the fields, and you make all your animal deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick.
Did you get a chance to watch the Grammys the other day? Wow, all that music and all that glitter and everything. And it was beautiful because I think that right afterwards they announced that they had re-recorded We Are the World. That was 25 years ago, hard to believe, for African Aid. The late Michael Jackson, along with Lionel Richie, got together and composed this song called We Are the World, and brought to stage all kinds of performers, all kinds of singers who were hand in hand, dedicated to putting an end to hunger. And of course, 25 years later, we are faced with this giant tragedy in Haiti. And I want to thank you, all of you who have donated via the In His Shoes website. And I want to let you know that I believe today or tomorrow, tomorrow? Okay, Susie tells me by tomorrow we'll have that up on our site. We have some confirmation of where the money has specifically been used. As I told you, 100% of whatever you give to In His Shoes, we're just passing it along, but what we're using it is to just make some noise that we do believe in this mission of walking in the shoes of others. So we're giving that all to World Vision, and World Vision has come out with some statistics. And one of the reasons why I chose World Vision is, first of all, they did have a presence on the ground the day of the earthquake. So there was no money being spent on how do we get supplies and how do we get aid to the people. And the other reason is because they have the lowest overhead. I mean, you know, you look at all the organizations that offer aid, World Vision is one of the least. I believe it's 13%. And I think Doctors Without Borders is probably the lowest. They're right at 13% too. So, you know, it's always important. You want to give. You understand that people have costs. Every organization has costs. You can't overlook that. You can't just say, here's a check, just help people. Well, there's a cost in delivering that aid. You want to make sure that it is done efficiently and effectively. And that's why I chose World Vision. And we're very happy that we've partnered with them for the last 10 years in doing the famine. And today we're, of course, partnering with them in Haiti. So we have some links over there, and it's interesting to watch all these people getting together and singing, you know, We Are the World. It's beautiful. You know, most of these people are worth about the same amount of money that all of their efforts together combined is going to raise to go there. Now, I know beggars can't be choosers, but you got to kind of think about all that. And, you know, it's maybe time that we start opening up ourselves to understanding, you know, the real superstars are not people who are good singers, good actors. The real superstars are people whose heart extends to others. They are really supermen. They are people that are able to help and bring about this relief. So we salute all those people that are out there on the ground and helping out, and really look at them as the real superstars. Super Bowl's coming up. Speaking of Super, we've got Super Bowl this week. I'm one of those who, this year, having no interest in either of the teams that are playing. I'm going to be one that's going to be really paying attention to the commercials. I understand this year there's some great ones that are coming out. I saw some previews on the internet. Whatever the case may be in your case, whether you're going to be rooting for one of the teams or the others, you're going to be watching the commercials. Remember, it happens to be a Sunday, and every Sunday for us is a Super Sunday, because it is an opportunity for us to get up and say, Christ has resurrected. And that, to me, is the ultimate message of Sunday. It's what makes every Sunday into a Super Sunday. That being said, hey, it has been a pleasure to put together today's podcast. I hope it has been an enjoyable one for you. For the wonderful staff who puts this together, who makes the next step a possibility, for our producer first and foremost, Susie, who happens to also be celebrating a birthday this week. Yes, I'm revealing it to the world, Susie. All the best to you. We wish you health and happiness, and much like your name, Shadarevian, we wish you out of shut days. We wish you a lot of sunshine in your life. You deserve it. And for Ken, our engineer, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Vasquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.